Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today's show is perfect for radio. It's about contemporary, original Alaska music and the people who create it. Plus, we'll hear a few of their spontaneous tunes during the hour. So do local musicians manage to survive and thrive as they build songwriting and performance careers here in Alaska? What are their struggles? What are their strategies? We'll find out more on today's show, including a do-it-yourself initiative launched by several Alaska musicians to develop and showcase their work to the world. They also want to import music industry expertise into the state. Sounds ambitious. Here with me to talk about this and share a song or two are songwriter and performer Michael Howard. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And I have to credit you with launching this idea, so I'm glad you're here today and glad we connected and we're having you on the show. And also Jamie Whiteman of Tanana Rafters.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us.
And I first thought you were from Fairbanks, but then I realized you're from Anchorage.
We're from Anchorage.
So the name Tanana Rafters is... Just because you love to raft.
Just for fun, we looked at a map and wanted something that people pronounced wrong often, so.
Okay.
You got it.
We got it.
So these are both musicians and songwriters, and if we're lucky, we hope we're going to hear from Amy Bartholomew, who is a musician in Juneau, because this is a statewide initiative. We'll talk all about that during the hour, and people will know what we're talking about. But we hope to hear from her in the second half hour. And we do promise a song or two, so when the time is right, we'll know. It'll be organic and we'll know the right time.
That's right.
So let's jump in. We're here because there's an initiative called the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative. So, Michael, where did that start from? Let's just start
Sure.
with definitions.
Sure. Well, it's sort of a fun story. I think it really started summer of last year. I was sitting with Kevin Worrell in his Airstream trailer up in Chickenstock, and we were just so, it was like, Boys Weekend away. It was so fun. We were jamming music out there. It was fun. And we finally just, you know, we were talking about our careers and, you know, the work we've all been doing as musicians all around Alaska, the work he's done with the Parlor in the Round listening room show. And it's not unique to us. For generations, Alaska musicians have sort of been building careers. Many of them leave. That's something we're looking at. And we're like, well, what does it take to be a musician in Alaska? And it wasn't just Kevin and I having that conversation. It was people like Ingville with the Spenard Jazz Fest. It was Laura Oden with the Anchorage Music Co-op. We're all friends. We work together in various capacities. And
you know, we've had Laura Oden on and Kevin Worrell here.
Right.
He accompanied her. It was based on the Anchorage Music Co-op. And
right.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to throw out our phone numbers for our listeners. So let me just do
sure.
that, and then we'll continue. If you're in Anchorage, by the way, if you're a musician, or if you've been an audience member and you want to see Alaska musicians do well and you've got some advice, we'd love to hear from you. In Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433. Statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So this is the birth of the idea out in an Airstream trailer.
Yeah, and so it turns out, and you know, we're all friends and we know each other from around town. But we finally sat down, and you know, I had a meeting with Ingville, I had a meeting with Laura, and it turns out there's a number of us having these same conversations, and we were all sort of working on our own through all the different pieces of what does it take to tour, to record, to produce, to get booked, to promote
yeah.
in the very exciting nebulous music industry, and then also where we are geographically in Alaska. So we'd all been thinking about this, and I think we finally all just came around the table. And through that, I mean, putting our heads together just over the last few months came a lot of real, I think, like, we sort of identified some things about what needs to be addressed in Alaska, particularly like culturally, to what does it take to get support for music in certain ways that maybe other communities have done around the
globe.
So you're
talking beyond audience, maybe. You're talking maybe people who see a value in music beyond just going to hear it, but maybe it identifies something about Alaska, or it is something people would come to Alaska to hear.
Sure. That's specifically something that came out of our, you know, series of coffee shop meetings and meetings with a few, you know, institutions and groups around town. Just that if we look at ourselves, and it's sort of like, well, where are we at? Do we have a self-awareness of, like, what is our musical culture? You know, you can look at, like, we won't be a place like Austin or Nashville or Portland or Seattle, but but we're Alaska, and there's other places. You know, I'll bring up Canada a lot today, just be forewarned. But groups that have sat down and they've identified who they are and what they are. They promote it, they brand it, they support it, they export it, and we're looking at what are the pieces and who are we here in Alaska to make.
So you think almost any town at some point when it's got some critical mass of music, original music, contemporary music happening, that they have to sit down and do this assessment?
I don't know. You can't manufacture it. That's something we're aware of. But it's just that for whatever reason, due to maybe generations of legacy, you know, culture and music studios or whatever it may be, you know, they've developed a sense of self-awareness. And so in Alaska, we're sort of taking a look at who are we. We are very multicultural. We're very diverse. We're aware of that. And I think just sort of, like I said, developing a bit of a self-awareness that we think is not currently there.
Yeah. I mean, what struck me when you were just giving this introduction is Kevin Worrell has had, you know, music in the round. I hear about house concerts a lot. I think Ingvall's had a lot of house concerts. And then the Anchorage Music Co-op, all these initiatives to get things moving, they sort of get you sort of down the road, but haven't quite answered the mission yet.
So I'll just start to dig into some of the meat here. Some of the things, in addition to developing more of a self-awareness and then in that way having something to brand and export, you also have to look at, as musicians, we work with the venues that sanction music here in the state. And so oftentimes what we run into over and over is that we're beholden to the bars, which is a ton of fun. It's a blast. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a good time. You can build fans. You can make some money. But then down the road, like where do you take a career after 5 to 10 to 20 years? And there's more to just the bar venues. So we're looking at what institutions and venues around Alaska sanction music and sanction it as art. So that's something we're sort of trying to like get there in our thought, is that rethinking music from just bar entertainment to art. And so that puts us in touch with.
So are you thinking things like, I know that Arctic Entries, which is a very popular cultural event here, and it always includes a local musician at the beginning, in the middle, and the end. I mean, is that a kind of?
Certainly.
I don't know if musicians get paid to do that, or that's an honor to do that. But are you
both,
talking about the museum?
That's exactly who we're talking about. And I'm glad you brought up Arctic Entries, because that's something that, and then also Kevin's Parlor in the Round. Those are two things, specifically Arctic Entries, that we point to where we think that audiences in Alaska are really ready for new things. They're really hungry for new art, storytelling, music. And the explosive success and growth of Arctic Entries over the last few years is specifically something we're looking at, you know, and now Kevin leading with the listening room shows for Parlor in the Round. We think the market and the audience is ready and supportive of it. And so now we're looking at what sorts of venues and institutions could be the museum, performing arts center. We've partnered up with the film festival recently.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't, I mean, that's a different art medium. Talk a little bit about that connection.
Sure. So, you know, as we're digging into this, there are, you know, again, with this sort of self-awareness and branding and exporting your music and your culture, film is also a piece of that. And that's a connection that we made. And it's just been wonderful working with Rebecca in the Anchorage International Film Festival. There's an organization, for example, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's called Visit Tulsa, similar to our, you know, convention and visitors bureau. I think I got that right. But they have a dedicated staff position it's called like arts, music, and film. And they promote Tulsa and tourism through arts and music and film. So making that link, you know, you have a fairly active film and movie community up here.
It's taken a few blows with the incentives gone away. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Kurt Riemann on the show talking about an Alaska soundtrack, you know, like how could that work? How could musicians be paid? How would you like, you know? And also if movies are being made and they want original. So there's all these sort of ways that music comes into it, and yet we don't quite have the path yet, I guess.
Right. And so that path being, think of it more like a puzzle, like in getting into more of the nuts and bolts, you know, what makes up the music industry and then also what makes up a career for Alaska musician. It's a big network of licensing, publishing, touring, royalties, bookings and promotions agents around the country and around the globe. And just what that looks like and what pieces do we have to work with here in Anchorage. Some of it can be partnering with film and getting, like, taking an active role in placing local music in films, or a band like the Sugar Strings or Blackwater Railroad Company more interested in, they can score music for film. So, and there's a lot of these things that go on. Some of it goes on sometimes in Alaska already. Like, there are these little pieces in the, you know, both with the music and with the industry side of things to work with. Mm-hmm. The stuff that Kurt Riemann's working on, compiling the Alaska Music Archive. That, for example, could open up a library where we have taken an active role in trying to push and publish and license Alaska music, either in local films or films around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Those are little pieces of, again, like the big puzzle of
yeah,
what builds
no
up the industry.
There's no silver bullet here.
Right.
There's no one thing you can do that can,
right.
It's got a lot of little things. And
right.
So that's what needs to happen in the state. And then there's this idea of exporting Alaska music. So
right.
Can we talk a little bit about that? There's this big conference coming up that you guys are going to have a presence at. The initiative is going to have a presence at. So tell me about that.
Sure. So the Alaska Room, as it's called, this is going to be the first year where we will be showcasing a group of homegrown Alaska musicians. We're holding fundraisers. We're raising money. We're getting sponsors. And we're traveling all the way down to Kansas City to showcase there's a 5-day conference. It's a very massive, international, the world's largest gathering of folk music. The industry is here at the
and
Folk Alliance
you're talking
Conference.
Booking agents, people who produce music. I mean, it's everybody?
It's everybody. It's people from around the globe. So you've got booking agents, promoters, radio stations, venues, performing rights organizations.
A lot of artists.
A lot of artists. You've got,
if
you can imagine, literally thousands of folk singers running around in their cool shirts and trendy hats and running around this hotel. But it's super fun. It's very intense.
You've been.
Yeah, I went last year for the first time. And there's a few other Alaskans that have had a presence down there. Carrie Pavish Anderson, Stephen Bacon. Some others that have started to get out and who are working on
so
careers.
It's almost like phase two. I have to get out of Alaska. Not just to tour and perform, but I have to connect.
Right. And the story of sort of how this came about is I left last year's conference and there's an Oklahoma room and there's a Wisconsin showcase room. Mm-hmm. There's multiple Canadian organizations and there's the Swedish folk music room. It's super cool. And I just, you know, Alaska has such an active, vibrant music community of people who are from here and live here. They used to live up here and play music. More and more often they're touring up here. And we were talking earlier before the show, Alaska is a very unique community, and we bond in a way up here we bond differently than people living in New York bond. And mm-hmm. once you're a part of this sort of Alaska music scene or tribe in whatever way, I mean, we really get excited about it. So we have this showcase room happening in Kansas City. It'll showcase the whole lineup of Alaskans traveling there, a number of expats and others like Nellie Clay, who are living in Nashville now. And there's a ton of energy that's building around it. People are excited. The Folk Alliance International Organization is supportive of it. And
yeah. I want to give Jamie, you've been so quiet, holding your guitar and just listening. You're going. Town on Our Rafters is on that list of people performing. And this will be your first time at that conference?
Yeah, my first time at the conference. And also it's like our whole band going, so that's really fun for us. We love getting out, and it's not a tour, but getting out as a whole band, getting out of state is really exciting. And we can build connections to, like, you know, tour from those connections. So it's really exciting for us.
Right. And I mean, it doesn't come free, right? Does the initiative have to, I mean, nobody just says, hey, here's your room, Alaska, go ahead and have at it. Did you apply? Did you have to send tapes down? What does it take to get the Alaska Room at that conference?
Sure. It's a really big organization. It's sort of an annual process. And so there's us to showcase down there. Like, we applied, you know, starting months ago, and now we're still in there actively booking ourselves for showcases around the conference. And We applied for the room a few months ago. It was approved. Woohoo!
Because it not necessarily will happen. And you have to put up some money to get that, or
we did. Yeah, we had to put up money for the room application. We've got to pay for the room the full time that we're down there. We have a whole package of professional branding and promotion that we're going in there with. So we look good. So we've got advertisements we've taken out. All kinds of fun stuff. We had to pay to get the bed removed from the room.
Details. So it's actually like a hotel room. You actually have.
It is, yeah, and that gets into we've learned a lot the last couple months as we've been out in the community trying to advertise the Alaska Room project and what this is, and it's led to a few, I think, blank stares. You know, they're like, you're what? You're taking folk musicians to play in a hotel room? Like, what is this? So to really paint the picture, I mean, it's a very exciting thing, and you have these three whole hotel floors that are blocked off, and it's just this machine is churning all day and all night, and you're just running, you know, super fast-paced, and you've got people moving through all these rooms and all the different rooms that are showcased from people from around the world, and the connections that are made and the energy there, it's very cool.
How do you not, like, hear the room next door and the room down the hall? I mean, how are the acoustics? Does that work, or is there just so much energy it doesn't matter?
There's so much going on, yeah. People are running in and out of rooms and running up and down the hall and handing out business cards, and, you know, you'll duck in and catch a couple songs by Jamie, and then you run down the hall and catch another artist. It's moving super fast. It's a lot of fun.
And meantime, there's a whole conference going on too.
So there's multiple things. So during the daytime at the Folk Alliance conference, there's all the panels, workshops, all kinds of exciting stuff. And then in the early evening are the official showcases, which are a super high profile thing that you have to apply for. And then, so where it gets kind of crazy and it's kind of hard to describe is these showcases where we showcase the Alaska Room. It's actually an almost all night thing. So it starts at 10:30 p.m. And runs till 4 a.m.
Oh,
right. So it's very intense. And you know, people hear that and they're like, that can't possibly work. But really, once you're in the thick of this conference and when it's happening, you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're just getting warmed up. You don't have any idea what time it is. Because it's so exciting, the things that are going on and the connections that are being made.
Right, right. So. It makes me think of, before we started, I said I had found this quote about find your tribe. Mm-hmm. And this scene here, it makes me think of folk festivals where people play in the hallways and then they run on stage and do their bit and then they come back and they're playing, they come to play, and that sounds like the kind of energy that is here. And so I'm going to read that quote. It says, a tribe is a group of people connected to one another, connected to a leader, and connected to an idea. A group needs only two things to be a tribe: a shared interest and a way to communicate. And a conference like the Folk Alliance International, that creates the place to communicate. But then you got to take that back. You got to take your connections back. You got to keep working. You know, whatever goes on in those 4 days, then you're trying to build something out of that.
Certainly, yeah. And I mean, to attest to my experience and others, I mean, you really come out of that conference with, you sort of have a path for your path, your career that you're trying to build. And that's what we're talking about. Partly what we're trying to accomplish by sending Alaskans down there is you really come out of there with some clear connections and some answers about how do I get my next tour booked and how do I publicize my next record. And you come out of there with a lot of answers that I've seen shape a lot of people's careers. And I'm really excited to watch after like Jamie and Tananaw Rafters and others that attend down there. I mean, just keep an eye on the Alaskans that go down there, because I think you're going to see like really exciting things happen over the next few years.
Yeah. And, you know, Jamie, I want to ask you, I know the Tananaw Rafters are relatively new within the last 5 years, right?
Yeah, right. Tell
me how it gelled a little bit, because you're sort of, you know, on the ground floor starting, and you already have a name, but how did it begin?
Yeah, so, I mean, we started the band, we were like all 18, and I think there was a 17-year-old, and we were all really young, and just got together, and it, like, immediately hit it off, and just, like, got lucky and got a lot of great shows, and we're able to just build our set and our, you know, just really build on our experience and grow really well. And I think, we've talked about before that there's like advantages and disadvantages of being a musician in Alaska, and one of the advantages is I think that you have we had a really great start, you know, like we were able to get gigs that we wouldn't have gotten if we were starting as 18-year-olds in Nashville, you know, it just wouldn't have happened. So
did you guys do anything with the Anchorage music co-op? Was that at all in your foundational coming up, or you guys just did it on your own?
I mean, we're like associating with them. Like, I know Laura, and we've played. I've played Parlor in the Round, which is, you know, an Anchorage Music Co-op
sure.
thing, and yeah. So I mean, we've known them. We've played, and I've hosted as well the under 21 open mics. So
that was something I was thinking of.
That was a cool help for us, like at the very very beginning. Yeah, and then so this going further with the band this summer, we went on our first tour. All of us turned 21, or were already. So like finally, we were able to tour and. Went just on the West Coast to Washington, Oregon, California, started in Seattle, ended in L.A., and had a really great time. So with this conference, that's something I'm really excited about. So when we toured this summer, that was super blind, you know? Like, we knew a couple people, but not really. Like, mostly it was, like, blind phone calls or just like, hi, we're a band from Alaska. And they're like, what? You know, like, yeah. What? Like,
what are you
there was so much.
For?
Yeah, like, just hundreds of emails and just, like.
A lot of work.
So much work. So we're excited with the idea of just meeting people and then, oh, hey, you know, a booking agent, or like, you are a booking agent in California. So, hey, let's be in contact. Like,
right.
It'll just, I'm hoping that would be a little more.
Kind of synapses firing and making connections. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something we're really looking forward to. Just making a lot of connections, hoping to tour. We can, you know, really with like the rooms being often location based, like you were saying, there's, you know, a Kansas room or a. Oh, not a Kansas room.
I don't think it's a Kansas room.
Okay, wait. But, you know, if we wanted to tour
sort of.
Tour UConn, we can go to the UConn room. I don't know if there's a UConn room. But, you know, you can just kind of, like, pick a
the
place.
The Swedish room, right?
Really. Right, yeah, let's tour Sweden. So we'll just pick a place and sort of, like, hang out with those people and get to know them and see their music and... Yeah. Yeah, we're excited.
Well, I'm just going to remind people, if you've just joined in, and maybe we can get ready for a song. I don't know. Feeling the vibe yet? Yeah, fingers are being pointed to
start.
We're talking about being a musician in Alaska, how to succeed, how to thrive. And it turns out that it probably involves connecting beyond Alaska and using Alaska and Alaska's music to sort of get a profile beyond Alaska. So we have Michael Howard and Jamie Whiteman. Jamie's with Tan on a Rafters. And we're going to hear a little song from you, Jamie, right?
Sure, yeah.
Do you want to introduce it, or you just want to
go for it? this one's called All My Fault. It's the title track to our album. We released a pre-mastered version in September. And then months after, we decided, like, oh, all right, we might as well master the thing. So we're working on mastering it, like, right now.
And for the neophytes that don't know the difference between that, what does that mean? That you take it into the studio, or you...
So we're sending it to someone in Colorado.
We still
and they
don't
just,
know.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't do it, so I don't know exactly what they do. But, yeah, you send it away. There's not much in Alaska in the way of mastering, but... So, you know, we just kind of looked around the country and looked at people we knew who'd mastered with different people. And we ended up sending it to someone in Colorado. And so they'd, like, bring up volume levels and sort of do, like, some really micro mixing things, make sure the levels are really nice, makes it available or, like, realistic for radio play.
For the radio.
If you don't master it, like, it can't be radio played.
Yeah. That's one of the thresholds you have to
So it can't
jump
be Spotify.
Through.
Not really. I don't know if you could do iTunes without mastering. Not really. You shouldn't. But
you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So you're having that done down in Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado. So we should get that back in the next few weeks, and then we'll order another big box of CDs and go from there. Take them to Kansas City with us.
Mm.
So, anyway, this is the title track to that. It's called All My Fault. But it just isn't the truth, and everything I'd say be an excuse. 'Cause how could I expect you to tear down all my walls? It's all my fault. And if I really loved you, I should have kicked down my defenses and fired all of my bodyguards, told them to lay down their arms. Let you be with me. I convinced myself I wanted.
surety, but all I guaranteed was lonely. And I saw of every minute of my time, even though I have this beautiful inkling that nobody's hand would fit in yours like mine, I draw a line. And if I really loved you, I should have kicked down my defenses and fired all of my bodyguards, told them to lay down their arms and let you be with me. Forever, not forever, can I hide this unsustainable pride and the bitterness and jealousy that fills so much of my insides? 'Cause you found someone, you moved on, and now I'm crying in this storm of self-inflicted solitude when I just want you. And if I really loved you, I should have kicked down my defenses and fired all of my bodyguards, told them to lay down their arms and let you be with me. After all, how could I expect you to tear down all my walls? It's all my fault. After all, how could I expect you to tear down all my walls? It's all my fault.
Ah, yes, a round of applause.
Nice.
So talk about that a little bit. Did you write that, or is it a group effort with Tanner?
I wrote that when I was like 17, so that's an old one. Yeah, really shy kid, so.
Yeah, and how about, Michael, what do you want to say about that?
I just was wondering that, I feel like, man, Jamie might come out of the folk conference with a record deal or something. Sounds
why
great.
Not? Why not?
You're right.
That's what we'd like. Well, I wanted to read, we got an email. It's from Laura Oden, who...
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Yeah. Well, she said, I can't listen right now, but I want to make a point. So she's making a point. She says, I want to point out to a lot of folks who are not aware of the linkage between successful cities and their relationship to the arts. Our city has already embraced the philosophy under the Live, Work, Play initiative. The AEDC and the businesses that support them already understand that one of the keys to attracting a talented pool of tech and entrepreneurs to this state is providing a vibrant art scene. That's what draws young talent. That's where they go. So I encourage more businesses to partner with artists, musicians, writers to make this scene alive. There's a ton of talent in Alaska. And there's a lot of businesses. We're just missing a lot of the links and the infrastructure that other states and countries have long ago established. So that's pretty much what you're saying. We're vibrant already, but maybe the synapses haven't fired. Maybe businesses haven't. It sounds like Laura says businesses do understand that if they want a vibrant workforce, maybe not musicians, but people who want music in their life, want to have a place that has a lot to do, a lot to hear, that makes them feel like they live in Alaska and not Anaheim, that's part of what...
What's wrong with Anaheim?
Nothing wrong with Anaheim. Nothing wrong with Anaheim. You know, but it isn't Alaska, I guess, is the point I'm making, that they've chosen to be in Alaska. And so... It's like it's a ripple effect, I guess, if the vibrant music scene can have a ripple effect here.
Certainly. And it could just, I was just thinking, it could be something like, I don't think that we don't support our music here in Alaska.
I don't
we certainly do. Maybe we take it for granted, and maybe like making this link with Folk Alliance and, the link between music and film equals tourism and economic development. I think that there are some of those conversations happening, within like AEDC. It's something that I think, Visit Anchorage is aware of, and they've become a supporter of this as well. Mm-hmm. They're supporting us this year, and so I think we're sort of aware of it. But some of the work that we are doing through the Alaska Room and the Independent Musicians Initiative is really articulating and being aware of that link, and just really I think looking for how can we support music In similar ways to, I said that I'd bring up Canada, but if you look at what other countries and communities and cities have done, look at the array of support for music, you know, in the same way that you would support visual arts or performing arts. When you look at, like, the, you know, either financial resources or residencies or awards or scholarships or whatever it is that adds up to how we support our musicians and then how we sell Alaska through that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like, what does that look like for us?
Yeah. And actually, we did get word that we do have Annie Bartholomew from Juneau, because Juneau has a vibrant music scene, too. And I imagine you have connections up in Fairbanks, so you're trying to make Fairbanks maybe Nome. It doesn't just happen in Anchorage. So we do have to take a little break, but we're going to come back and introduce Annie Bartholomew from Juneau. She won't be singing over the phone, sadly.
Too bad.
So we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and today we're talking a lot about Alaska musicians and how they survive and thrive. We have Michael Howard, songwriter, a long time, born in Alaska, I think, right?
Yep, born and raised in Anchorage.
Born and raised in Anchorage, and I found out was in punk bands before he became an individual artist.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. And also community organizing. I mean, there was a lot. You know, no wonder you're good at doing what you're doing now, because it's really part of your background, figuring this stuff out. Portland State University, a degree in community activism or organizing, mm-hmm. right? And we also have Jamie Whiteman with Tanana Rafters, and she just sang a beautiful song, which was a real privilege to have. But we did promise that Annie Bartholomew was on the phone. Hi, Annie. Can you hear me?
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks so much for having me.
Yay. We're really happy to have you here from calling in from Juneau. And Michael, why don't you sort of introduce Annie a little bit? And you were very excited to invite her on because
yes.
she represents one leg of this stool. So go ahead and talk about.
Great. I'll just real brief, and then Annie should jump in. I know Annie from on and off through work. You know, all of us musicians around Alaska know each other. And I think she was up in Fairbanks at the time. And so she's been an active musician. She also has quite a bit of radio history, professional work in Juneau, and I think also up in Fairbanks. And, you know, she also has put in plenty of time trying to build a career as a musician. So, again, as we started talking on this and working on the project, she's already on the same page. Her head has been working on this stuff for years. So she's been able to jump in from her position now in Juneau and on the project, and I'll let her take it from there.
Yeah. So what are you up to down there, Annie, in terms of the Folk Alliance International or the Independent Musician Initiative? Are things cooking down there in Juneau?
Oh, things are cooking all right. yeah, right now I'm planning a fundraiser for the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative. I thought I would bring a lot of my musician friends down here together for a Canadian tuxedo party at the Hangar Ballroom right after. right? Canadian tuxedo, denim on denim.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. In Alaska, love to get dressed up. And if you can tie, like, fundraising, wearing cool outfits, and great music.
So just real quick, Michael is wearing all denim.
So we have a Canadian tuxedo right here in the studio, I guess. Denim and denim. Okay. I hadn't heard that before, Annie. So when is your fundraiser?
It's January 27th, so after the session starts. And we really wanted to have it then because it's going to help all of the songwriters from Juneau really establish themselves throughout the session in the spring, because all of them will be hosting their own shows throughout the spring. And then the other component I really wanted to do is this Canadian tuxedo mixtape, where we're going to take a bunch of us into the studio and record just some simple acoustic songs. We're working with Studio A, Betsy Sims there. And just so these musicians have something that they can put on their Bandcamp page or SoundCloud to get out on the internet and then have this big album release at the end of it, because for all the talent that's in Alaska, there really aren't a lot of musicians who have recordings or have high enough quality recordings to be played on the radio. I heard you guys talking about that earlier.
Right.
I run a 24-hour music station here in Juneau at KTOO Public Media, and that's the hardest thing for me is I'll have a really great local artist whose music just isn't there yet to have in heavy rotation.
Mm-hmm.
We try and make opportunities for people to do live performances or play their cuts during an interview to promote a show. But my secret goal is to get more of our fellow talent in Juneau recorded and get them aligned so the next year they could go to Folk Alliance or tour Anchorage or go to Fairbanks, where I was a student and have played in bands. So I'm really looking at how we can take Southeast Alaska, which is really hard to get to. I mean, you have to fly everywhere, and so trying to plan a tour to Anchorage if you're a band bigger than two or three people is tough and unfeasible for a lot of folks living here.
And so, I mean, that's about building your fan base in Alaska. I that's another twist on this that I hadn't really thought of. If you may have tons of fans in Juneau, but Anchorage or Fairbanks isn't aware of you yet, and then the geography of our state becomes a challenge then, right?
Certainly.
It might be easier to go to Seattle.
It is. Yeah. I've definitely done like West Coast tours with the band I play up in Fairbanks with Harm, where you can get a lot more shows in. And it's funny because different communities in Alaska are used to different practices. Like in Fairbanks, house shows are huge. In Anchorage, people know you're going to pay a cover to get into the venue. But in Juneau, our venues are just warming up to that. I think about what Michael said about being beholden to the bars. And really, my mission here is to kind of educate people to know that you do have to pay money to see great music, because it costs a lot of money to make great music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way to support musicians, is with your wallet.
to be frank, right? Right. So, gosh, would you describe the I guess we're talking bands and acoustic and even songwriters in Juneau. Is there quite a hefty crowd down there of fellow musicians, or is it a handful?
Well, we are the home of the Alaska Folk Festival every spring in April.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of acoustic music happening here. And they do events and fundraisers throughout the year. So we have that kind of anchoring Juneau down, but there's all kinds of people making all kinds of music. You've got metal bands and rock and roll bands and, you know, Irish bands. You've got a little bit of everything. I don't feel like we see kind of the eclectic nature that they have in Anchorage. I was just up there a few months ago and saw all these guys with synthesizers. You know, I think feel like Juneau could be coming into that. But, you know, I feel like a lot of it's access to resources. You know, we don't have the same kind of music shops that they do in Anchorage or Fairbanks. And so when you're just learning to play music or you're just experimenting, it's harder to get your hands in front of the money to learn those new styles.
We lean heavier
acoustic.
I was thinking about the things that I remember Laura Oden talking about, just giving people the opportunity to be in front of a mic and look at an audience and then sing to that audience, that was a rite of passage or something that the music co-op could provide or sought to provide. And I guess you're saying Juneau doesn't necessarily have anything like that.
Well, we do have some things. I mean, there's always new people coming into town energizing it. The Alaskan Hotel, where a lot of those after-hour jams happen at the Folk Fest, has a pretty strong open mic every Thursday night. And Amanda Falori, who's a mom in town, Sammy Burrow's sister, started a kids' open mic at one of our local coffee shops, Copa. But we're still trying to create those opportunities here in Juneau. Because it's so funny, because if you're in Fairbanks, you know, there's tons of opportunities to get on stage, and everybody is hosting fundraisers for free festivals like Clucking Blossom or Angry Young and Poor. And so they're always needing people to get on stage and fill time. But in Juneau, we're not there yet. And the whole bar scene everything starts a lot later because most of the musicians and people who go out are involved in the food service industry. They're not getting out of work until later, and they're not starting their night until later. So I'm trying to, like, move that start time a little earlier when people who have desk jobs can come make it to the show. Because I find that most of the people who have money to spend on music are usually a little bit older. There's a lot of baby boomers in Juneau who want to experience that part of the music community but can't because of this later start time.
And so of course,
we have our own funny issues in Juneau that I'm hoping that through events like this Canadian Tuxedo Party and events we host at the radio station, we can kind of change and make this a better place for everybody.
Well, I want to ask you, Annie, is it an advantage to have the legislature in town?
Yes.
That's the right answer.
Because it brings so many different people here just for those 4 months. And they all bring a certain energy, and they all represent a different place in Alaska. And then when they leave, you know, you have friends at all different corners of the state. So if I was going to go play a show in Wasilla, I would know somebody there because they're working for a senator or representative. So I feel like it really brings a lot of good energy to town.
Yeah. I want to open up to Jamie and Mike. Do you have anything you want to talk to Annie about? It's an honor to have her on the phone. So.
Sure. I just wanted to... She mentioned something, you know, you were asking about, like, how robust is the folk music down there. And I just want to chime in there that we're part of sort of in our mission that we put out for the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative is this is not just limited to folk music. It just so happens that for folk music within the music industry, we have this super exciting Folk Alliance International organization and conference. And that's one that's what's exciting is that as big and global and awesome as that is for folk music, that's one piece of what's going on out there in the music industry. It's a big, vast thing right now, and a lot of people are trying to figure it out. But for an entrepreneurial musician and for a community that wants to rally around it and piece together like the music industry here in Alaska, I mean, it's pretty vast and pretty big, I think, what we can do, and also by looking at other communities. So yeah, not just folk music, but down the road, I mean, this includes all sorts of music.
I guess I have no idea if there are conferences for, you know, metal bands.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know. So folk seems to have carved out a profile, you know, globally, maybe because of the roots of folk. I don't know.
Certainly.
But Annie, you're going to be at the Folk Alliance, and Jamie, you're going to be there. You guys have not met yet?
No, I haven't met. Nice to meet you on the air, Annie.
So, lovely song.
Yes, it was a lovely song. Annie, anything else you want to add here? And then we'll say thank you.
I just want to say that the reason I'm most excited to go to Folk Alliance is not to perform, but to meet other musicians from Alaska and make these connections, but also learn how we can bring better and new music to Alaska and to different corners like Southeast Alaska, where we don't get a lot of touring artists. And if there's anybody out there who really wants to come to Juneau and needs help finding a place to play, you can always look me up.
Yeah, they can find you at KTOO, or where can they find you?
AnnieBielaska.com.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Annie. It was really wonderful to have Southeast Alaska represented while we're talking about this statewide initiative. And thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll see you up here in Anchorage sometime.
Thanks so much, Kathleen.
Take care. I want to throw out our numbers one more time and invite people who are maybe musicians who want to ask you a question about the initiative or ask about the Alliance, the Folk Alliance International Conference, or just comment on the scene. You can give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 statewide, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. You and I, Michael, were saying we were going to talk a little bit about this industry is changing so much. And some of the things I'd read getting ready for the show had to do with, you know, streaming. While it makes music very available, maybe artists are making pennies, you know, and we talked a little bit about how expensive it is to make music. I read one figure that said, I think it was $10,000 for
everything for an album or maybe a song. I'm not even sure what it was, but it was like if you're getting pennies back and you've invested, you know, thousands of dollars, that's a hard way to make a living. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, again, we started talking about the advantages and the challenges, and maybe some of these industry changes are advantages and sometimes they're challenges. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. And that's really exciting. And you said it right. There are advantages and disadvantages both to who and where we are up here in Alaska, and then also in this rapidly evolving music industry. I mean, they say that like literally every 6 months, there's some new sort of best practice for how you produce and promote an album or go on tour or do your licensing or publishing. I mean, it's mm-hmm. evolving so rapidly. I think what that looks like, you know, and I've only been around for so many years, you know, in just the last few years, really trying to make a professional go of this. But, you know, I think the way things used to be, it's definitely been disrupted. It's been disassembled. But like I said, for an entrepreneurial musician and for a community that wants to take the lead at some of these things, at this nebulous industry, there's a lot of cool stuff to work with and things that, like, again, every few months didn't used to exist. You know, I'll just to give an example, like, what is this I'm talking about? One thing that's come up is there's, like, within Spotify, there are certain users that make playlists, and those users have millions of followers. There are industry licensing people on the inside of Spotify and this other web of streaming services that, for example, like, what would that look like? Again, with Kurt's Alaska Music Library, we could get in there and have somebody that is taking a role in placing Alaska music, like, all across the internet. You know, and I get streams from all over the world with my music, but though I keep saying nebulous, it is a very nebulous thing, and it's hard to, like, sell, like, what is some of the work that the Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative is doing. It's these inside nuts and bolts mm-hmm. that most people are just going to glaze over, like, how do you register your set list for performing rights organizations for the tour that you just went on so that you can get paid the percentage of fees that's supposed to be dispersed for you? That's something that's, like, super boring for most people, but for us, it's exciting. And when mm-hmm. you piece these things together, the touring, the promoting, the licensing, the publishing, that's what adds up to be a career for a musician. I also wanted to just chime in. Some of the outcomes that come from us attending Folk Alliance, like, it's a clear benefit to our careers as musicians. But the other outcome of this is the channel that becomes open between Alaska, our music industry, our tourism, our economy. You know, we're plugging it in through this very robust Folk Alliance organization. And that's one of the other outcome is that we're selling Alaska through music. And that's the idea that we just want to keep promoting. Like, music is valid art. It's legitimate art that we're hoping to, you know, that our community will cognizantly support, mm-hmm. just like other places around the globe do. And I think some exciting things will come even after this first year, and we hope to do this year after year.
Yeah, you're taking, or I don't know if you're taking them, but something like almost 20 Alaska musicians are going down, and then there are as you mentioned, musicians who've come through Alaska or are friends of Alaska musicians who are also going to be performing in this Alaska room. So
right.
that's a kind of new network that you're establishing.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really, it's really establishing this showcase room as a hub in the industry. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of us musicians and some industry folks are, you know, aware of us and others who've been in and out of Alaska. Mm-hmm. But we're really, I think, institutionalizing it in a really cool way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's building on energy of things that are already going on up here. And
I mean, the idea that there would be scouts from record companies, is that the sort of thing, or is that just so 90s or 80s or 70s? I don't know what, you know, what would you say? I mean, is that even someone might hear me that might offer me a record deal?
Absolutely. You know, and this gets into, like, you have to define as a musician and as Alaska musician, like, what does success look like? If you envision it as you're on a stage in front of millions of people in a huge stadium, okay, that's one thing. But the reality is like, there are record labels and there are booking agents and publicists, and there's a whole team of people that you strategically build onto and start working with as you mm-hmm. build a career. And getting a record deal is totally still a thing.
But I mean, when you said, well, what does success look like, I was thinking, is this like a long tail idea where you know, I need to make a living and to be happy creating my art and having an audience and having followers. I maybe need, you know, I don't know, 25,000 fans. You know, I don't necessarily need 10 million fans. You know, I can support myself and I can do the kind of, you know, so kind of a long tail. Like, it doesn't have to be the record, you know, it can be right. Something along the tail that's very successful. I mean, am I right about that? Like, you define your success.
I think definitely. I think that looks different for every musician. We all have our own idea of what we want, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be totally different musician to musician. I know that, like, myself and my band, you know, we're really looking, we want to tour a lot. Like, we love touring. We went on that tour this summer and just, like, at least for me, that was a huge pivot in my life. Just like, wow, like, I don't want to do anything I wanted to do.
Before this. Yeah.
Yeah, like, now, oh, I just... dang it. Like, uh-huh. Well, okay. So now I'm left with this, you know, reality in my life that I, you know, it's just like something I really want to do. And yeah. And so, you know, for us, like, do we want a record deal? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe, I'm not going to say no, but like,
yeah, if
that
someone knocked
crazy
on your door, so, you'd listen. But,
you know,
yeah.
But, you know, just, you know, so for us, like, the idea of making a living, that's perfect. Like, that's
and
awesome.
Traveling
We'd love
and...
to tour. We'd want to be able to sustain our tours. Like, this last tour, we, like, almost broke even, but we didn't. So, uh-huh. Like, you know, it was, we spent some money and, you know, like, made a lot on tour, but still, it was just like, we can't do that all the time. It wouldn't work. So it's, yeah. You know, it's exciting to just look. And something else that we're looking for at Folk Alliance International is just to look at. There's, like, we're going to be among thousands of, like, currently touring musicians. So we can, you know, meet them and ask them, like, what do you do? How do you make it work?
Right.
And those answers are not the same for everyone, so it's mm-hmm. interesting,
right.
You know, you just gotta, like, try things and see mm-hmm. if it works, and
it's like a research opportunity for you can go down and interview all kinds of people doing what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And find
and find our tribe.
Yeah, find your tribe.
Right.
We've still got a couple minutes. I wonder if we have time for a song. What do you think?
I think we should. Yeah,
yeah.
We should show people the exciting side of what we're all talking about.
Yeah, what is this thing that we're excited about? Let's hear some of it. So go ahead and introduce what you're going to do.
Here, let's see. I'm going to play one of the hits here.
One of the hits, okay.
This is a true story about love and heartbreak and a pair of brown rubber boots that happened right here in Alaska.
Okay.
And I'll be playing this one a bunch down at Folk Alliance. I saw her walking down the street. That girl, she was pretty as could be. A short denim skirt and wavy hair. My eyes just could not help but stare. It was 72 degrees, not a cloud in sight. But there's her feet, wrapped up so warm and waterproof. She caught me with my mouth hanging open wide, yeah. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. It's a true story. Well, it didn't make much sense at first. Was she all dressed up and headed to work downtown, making coffee in the art gallery? I wonder if she fishes commercially. Well, I don't care what she does. Just keep on doing what you're doing to me. Cause I'm so sure that I'm in love with that two-tone brown boot magic on your feet. Well, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. But when I look down at her feet, oh, I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that girl in extra tufts. Well, she's rambling round Alaska, from Kalifornsky to Ketchikan, from Bristol Bay to Barrow. Woo, you'll try to catch her if you can. But she'll steal your heart in Juneau, Sitka, Seward, and Homer, too. Or maybe at a radio spot right here on the radio in Anchorage. Rubber boots, why don't you walk me home with you? So I went down to Costco in Anchorage, cause I heard they were on sale. Cause see, Kathleen, I hoped maybe she might like me. So when I bought myself a pair of those shiny brown rubber boots, but she saw me standing there in my pair of brand new fancy rubber boots, and she looked down at my feet, and she was like, she was like, "Oh, Michael," she said, "your boots were made in China, they'll only fall apart." And sure enough, she left me standing there in my pair of busted rubbers, two wet feet and a broken heart. But hey, don't you know you gotta love that double-dipped brown neoprene? Dressed for business from the waist up, the only skin she's showing is her knees. But when I look down at her feet, oh, I know she must be wild and rough. I can't get enough of that brown boot, loving short skirt, tall boots. And my heart starts thumping, we'll dance all night, and we'll go puddle jumping. Cause I can't get enough of that girl in extra tufts.
That's fun. And also, it's so Alaskan, right? I mean,
yeah.
Extra tufts are practically a trademark for Alaska in some respects. So that was very fun. So we have, I don't know, Jamie, do you want to say anything about that song? I love to hear musicians talk about
I love extra tufts. I wear them for almost every show.
Yeah. They are an icon for Alaska, and maybe for folk musicians as well, right?
Maybe.
But anyway, we have a couple minutes left, and I know that I go to alaskapublic.org if you want to sort of see Annie's music. We've got a link to her, I think it's called Dry Cabin Session, down in Juneau. We've got some stories about Michael there. We've got some material about Tanner Rafters, which I think is the date that I have to change that.
All right.
But anyway, we want people to think about this independent musicians initiative. And you know, I don't know whether people are still trying to get to the conference or whether you've got your group together now.
Yeah, we could take on a few more for sure.
Okay.
You know, it is a very DIY thing, and all the musicians who are going, we have almost a dozen. We also have a room manager and promoter who was also recently out of Juneau, who's going to be attending there, running the room. But it really is an investment from all the musicians going. I mean, there's membership fees, conference registration fees, airfare. So the group that's involved, the Tanner Rafters and the other songwriters, I mean, it's a serious, like, building, it's a professional commitment into having a career. And the listeners, definitely keep an eye out. We plan to host a series of fundraising shows throughout the year, so you'll see fundraising shows, you know, at Taproot or other spots for the Alaska.
Should we
room.
Expect fireballs after in March when you come back? I mean, you should
I think
be
so.
Really fired
yeah.
up. And,
I think we're all talking about doing some sort of homecoming show. We get to nail that down, but yeah, look for it. It should be exciting.
Yeah.
Watch for that.
We're working on that. And we hope, you know, we plan for this to be a year-round thing that goes on throughout the year.
So. That's cool. Well, as you can hear, we're out of time. But I really want to thank Michael Howard, songwriter Michael Howard, and Jamie Whiteman of the Tanana Rafters, and also Annie Bartholomew, who called up a musician from Juneau who's working real hard on this independent musicians initiative. So thank you, guys, and thank you to our listeners. I'll be back as your host on Hometown Alaska January 11th. We'll be speaking with an Alaska scientist who's intent on growing insulation from mushrooms. So you'll have to tune in to find out about that. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Eric Bork is our web editor and audio engineer today. Thanks for joining us on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.